You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as the community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Todd Adkins.
What about Todd Adkins?
No, I was trying to introduce you introducing you.
Great.
What that reminds me of is when my kids and I listen to music.
Yeah.
Sometimes after dinner, we'll play music. They'll all go and choose a song. My son will always choose Life is a Highway because he loves cars.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's awesome. And the girls will, you know, call me maybe, or this song or that song. And one of the roles that we always do is maybe they'll get their hairbrush have a microphone. Other times do air guitar. And then only one person can be the DJ.
Really?
Yeah. So for the first time, my daughter was like, Daddy, you be the DJ. You be the DJ. I was like, really? And she's like, yeah. So I put my hand to my ear and I was like, wickle, wickle, wickle. Anyways, not related to our question at all. Sometimes no. It is connected.
It could be.
No, but today we have a question from Zach.
Zach. Well, Zach Morris.
No, not Zach Morris. But you know he's on another sitcom?
What? No.
Yeah. My wife and I were watching this show called The Pitch. We only saw the first episode. It was about the first female baseball player. And we were like, man, that catcher, he looks like really familiar. And then when we were brushing our teeth at night, Christina was like, that was Zach Morris.
Yeah. I only said Zach Morris because he always carried around that oversized phone.
Totally.
With a large antenna that looks like it's a box of crackers or something with an antenna sticking out of it.
It was the best.
I like Zestus.
Yeah.
The wheat ones. They're incredible. All right, let's do this.
My name is Zach Verbracken, and I was just wondering, when you think about the future church 3-5 years ahead of us, what do you think will be some common themes with churches that we'll be planting in the next few years?
All right, so 3 to 5 years. That doesn't sound like a long time, but whatever happened to long-range strategic planning?
It's now dead.
Yeah. Now, there's a difference between having a golden tomorrow or a vision for the future versus having a strategy, right? You need to have that vision. You need to pray about it. You need to say, hey, if time and money were no object, or if the Lord had his way in this and this, this is where we'd love to be in 3 to 5 years. But in terms of a strategy, a specific strategy to get there, I mean, it's hard to have all those details planned out because the speed of change.
It's just, I mean, you know, I think the old guard, it's almost like a destination mentality, whereas, you know, we need to be thinking more about direction than a destination. Does that sound familiar?
Was that a shout out to my book?
No Silver Bullets? Perhaps. You've indoctrinated me quite well.
Well, you did help me flesh out the paradigms.
Well, there you go.
And our charts and our audits and all that. So,
well,
pat yourself on the back, Todd.
Maybe I did. No. So, but I do think that's the case. If you are able to choose the direction, it's really about having, you know, short-term destinations that are moving in that direction. Meaning, you know, we've talked about 4 disciplines of execution before, I think, where we say, hey, what are 1 or 2 and wildly important goals that really align with the direction that we're going?
Yeah.
And then how are we going to establish lead measures to get us there? What are the things that we know if we do these 2 or 3 things, and we measure those, we'll get to that destination. How are we going to have a scorecard to say, weekly, monthly scorecard to say, how do we know if we're achieving that? What do we need to adjust? That's I really think the new way of doing it. So, wildly important goal, lead measures to say, how are we going to get there? A scorecard. And then that cadence of accountability, that regular time where we're meeting and saying, this is where we're going, this is what I'm doing, and this is how we're going to get there.
Yeah. So going back to the question from Zach, the idea of the future, right? So we've talked about strategic planning. We've talked about this idea of 3 to 5 years ahead. But if we're looking at themes, what might be coming up on the horizon, and obviously it's hard to accurately predict this is what it's going to be in 3 to 5 years. But one thing that we do see trending is the move towards bivocational. Right. Yeah. So not bivocational in the sense of, hey, I couldn't raise enough money, so I have to go bivocational, but more of, hey, I did raise money and I'm going to start bivocational. Or individuals who are in churches saying, hey, actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to go be bivocational so that we can bring on another staff member instead.
Totally.
Right. So there's a lot of stories of that going on, but it's neat to see that being one of those themes that's coming up.
What I appreciate as well is just the elevation of the heroes that bivocational pastors are. Mm. So they always have been. But now I think at some period of time in the last 50 years, probably especially, they were seen as almost like second class pastors.
Totally. It was like, you couldn't get a...
Totally. And now you weren't a big enough deal to get a full-time salary. And now it's like, it's like, no, I'm just a specialized soldier or something. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it, but no, it, you're basically right. Saying that, you know, it's there. I think the way that it's being looked at is changing, and I'm really excited about that because it's the only way we're going to move forward. It's the only way we're going to move forward, even from a missional standpoint, both, at home in the States and abroad. Yeah. And I know I can say at home because that's where my home is. We have a lot of international listeners. I recognize that, but I'm saying wherever you are across the world, the beautiful thing about where society is headed is that you really can't work from anywhere.
Yeah.
People have multiple jobs. Mm-hmm. It's the gig economy. Mm-hmm. So it only makes sense that we would see that begin to affect how we live and lead in the church.
Yeah. Now, bivocational, if we just stick on that for a little bit, is very, very multidimensional, right? There are so many different aspects to it. So I heard one of our friends, Dave Rhodes, he's with the 100M movements, you know, him and Alan Hirsch and Neil Cole and those guys. So when we were actually in a backroom conversation together talking about bivocational ministry and talking about the implications of all this. And I remember him saying that about 30-something% of Americans freelance.
Yep.
Now that's, I think that is something very unique to America.
It's like Cinco dedication.
Oh, totally, totally. But I mean, I think that's something very unique to Americans because there's not a lot of Canadians. Maybe it is today. Maybe it's changed since the last 2.5 years that I've lived there. But I've noticed there's a lot more Americans that freelance or have something else going on than their main thing than Canadians.
Side hustle.
Yeah, the side hustle. Now, I always had that. Maybe that's why it works for me to live here right now. I don't know. But what's interesting is, I mean, just think about that, right? Just think about the idea of a side hustle and think about the way that you parent, right? I mean, this is really spreading out as well. Now, when I'm looking at my kids, you know, Victoria plays the piano. She does gymnastics. My second one does gymnastics. She'll start learning the piano. But honestly, I want my kids, if they're called to ministry, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'll help them as much as I can. But I want them to have hard skills to make money elsewhere as well. Like I want to teach them how to code. I don't know how to code. I want them to code. Right. I want to make sure that they have that. So I think part of the future is, I think, something that seminaries need to understand as well. And even individuals, if you're listening and you're in high school and you're thinking about what college to go to and you have a calling towards a ministry, well, don't go to Bible college.
No, go get a financial degree.
Yeah, go get some, not to say anything bad about Bible colleges.
No.
But go somewhere where you can have a skill that you can make money otherwise, and then maybe go get another degree at Bible college. That's a theological degree, or go to seminary and get a master's.
Yeah, you can go to Bible college and get a financial degree. I'm just saying,
totally.
I'm saying you're going to get a ton of theological and biblical education in seminary. You don't have to spend 7 years getting that. So in your undergrad, go ahead and do something like finance, marketing, something.
Yeah. And that's why we have friends, and I don't want you to hear this wrong. We have friends who are in Bible colleges, who are on faculty at Bible colleges. There's nothing wrong with them. In fact, I've actually seen many Bible colleges and seminaries offer dual degrees, double majors, right? So I've seen some seminaries do an MDiv/MSW, you know, Master's Social Work degree, or an MDiv/MBA type of degree. And I've seen Bible colleges offer double majors as well. What we really want to say is, and maybe you do go to Bible college and you get a theological degree, but you're also going to trade school and getting your ticket in plumbing, right? Either way, I mean, honestly, my friends, I have two friends that are oncologists, right? They're specialists of specialists. One is a radiation oncologist, the other one's in surgery. And they did the math, and a plumber would likely earn more money than them over their entire lifetime in Canada. And on call, I mean, if you're still making some good money, but you know why?
Why?
Because right after high school, you can get your ticket after a couple of years and start working. Hmm. And in certain areas, you're making 80 to 100 grand right away, if not more, as a plumber. And you can work. So think about that. Your student debt is so low. You start working when you're 20, making that.
Yeah.
And if you invest well, I mean, that's the key, right? If you invest well and save well, by the time you're 65, you might make more money than a doctor who graduates with $300,000-$500,000 in debt.
Yep.
Isn't that fascinating?
Fascinating.
It is. I mean, he's the one that told me. Yeah. He was like, maybe I should have become a plumber. Right? So these are all the things that we need to be thinking about, that even as we talk about calling in ministry, that's another thing, right? Is it that some people are called and other people are not called? Or is it that we're all called to be missionaries? Is it that we're all called to be equippers? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, man.
So, I smell what you're stepping in.
So bring it home, man. Bring it home.
Be a missionary. God's own emissary. Did I already sing this?
No, you haven't. That's good.
It was a, I don't know, song I grew up singing about being a missionary every day.
The only song like that I sang growing up was... I will never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery.
I hope they still sing that. I don't think my kids sing that. I mean, it's all some modern gobbledygook. That's what's the problem.
Well, I taught my kids this.
Oh, I teach my kids that too.
For I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir. Hey, and we want you to build an army, not just an audience.
Oh, that's a good connection, Todd.
Thank you.
So... Zach, I hope that was helpful in through all the little rabbits that we followed. But really, bivocational seems to be that next thing that we just continue to increase. And that's why at newchurches.com, we are passionate to resource bivocational pastors. We're working on materials. We have blog posts. Actually, the most downloaded podcasts, some of the most downloaded podcasts in all 203 of them, are the Bible ones. And that's really cool. That's really cool. So, bivocational pastor, you are our hero. We praise the Lord for what you're doing, for the work that you're doing. And yeah, keep on going. March on. And we'll see you next time.